Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about. Tech Guide. It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features. Tech Guide. This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere. Tech Guide. Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide, episode 119. Hello and welcome to the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. It's great to have your company once again. And if you're joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. I'm Stephen Fenwick and I'm the proud editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we're going to talk about Apple's latest iPad and iMac product announcements, as well as the brand new Android operating system, Lollipop, and the new Nexus devices. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to take a look at Jabra Sport Pulse wireless earphones that can also read your heart rate. Then we're going to check out the Linksys 8-port gigabit Ethernet switch and the Asus MemoPad 7 tablet. In the Tech Guide help desk, we're going to talk to you about your rights as a customer if something goes wrong with your device. Plenty to talk about, so let's get cracking. Okay, we're going to kick off with Apple's event late last week. It was early Friday morning, our time, about 4 a.m., I think I set the alarm clock for. And this was Apple's iPad event. We had the iPhone 6 and Apple Watch event last month, but it was the iPad's turn for its own event. It was held at a much smaller venue at Apple's own town hall in its campus in Cupertino. But the products they announced, as we expected, no real surprises here. A new iPad Air 2 and the iPad Mini 3. The star of the show, no doubt, was the iPad Air 2. They also announced a new Retina display iMac and also Yosemite and iOS updates, which we're going to talk about in the next segment. But for now, let's get on with the iPad Air 2. Now, this device is just 6.1 millimeters thick. It's got the same size screen. 6.1 mil, that's 18% thinner than the previous iPad Air, which is not even a year old, weighs in at just 437 grams. Now, interestingly, during the presentation, Apple's Vice President for Worldwide Marketing, Phil Schiller, he's the Apple person who normally announces the new hardware. He announced the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus last month. It was his turn then to talk about the iPad Air 2. Well, during his presentation, he called the iPad Air the world's thinnest tablet, the iPad Air 2, that is, the world's thinnest tablet, and that is actually not the case anymore. The day before, would you believe, Dell announced their new tablet called the Venue 8, and it is just 6 millimeters thick. So I'm sure there might be a bit of a showdown between Apple and Dell about whose tablet is the thinnest. But if you're going by the numbers, Dell seem to have that title. The iPad Air 2 at 6.1 millimeters thick is 0.1 too big to claim the title. Well, we'll wait and see how that turns out. But the device itself has got a faster processor. It's got the A8X processor. So things are very snappy when you're using the device. What it's also got is an improved camera. I think it's inherited virtually all the features of the iPhone 6's camera. So it's got an 8-megapixel sensor. It's also inherited slow-mo, time-lapse, all of these extra features. So that is pretty significant, because I think there's a lot of people who are now, or a lot of people already, who take photos with their iPad. They may look silly doing it, but when you think about it, Apple made a great point. Then the viewfinder is hard to argue with. It's either it's the iPad Mini or the iPad Air 2. You got either a 9.7-inch or a 7.9-inch display, so you're going to get your photos right. Apart from that, you're also going to get burst mode. That's an iPad feature for the first time. You can also have panorama shots as well, time-lapse, and of course 1080p high definition video recording. They've updated the Wi-Fi on board too, 802.11ac. That's nearly three times faster than the previous iPad. And of course, the feature that we were really expecting, and we did that, and that Apple did deliver, and that's the Touch ID sensor. So fingerprint reader on the home button. Now, how many times I use the iPhone 6 Plus now, and have used the 5S before that? How many times have I grabbed the iPad Air and put my thumb on the home page, on the home button, thinking it was going to unlock with a fingerprint? Well, I had to then type in my password, but not anymore. Not the iPad Air 2 has that Touch ID, as does the iPad Mini 3. The other addition is the new colours. The iPad is now going to follow the iPhone footsteps and be offered in silver, space grey, and gold. So you can go gold with your iPad as well. Now, the iPad Mini 3, not much more of an update apart from the Touch ID. It has also had its camera enhanced, but it still is only a lower resolution of 5 megapixels. It's had a few other camera features included, like burst mode, things like that. It won't have burst mode. It won't have slow motion video, but it'll have all the other features. The new iPads will be available from the end of this week. Apple did not give a specific date when they were going to go on sale, as they do with the iPhone. Not sure whether they don't want a line out the front of the store, but the reason there were lines before was there was a specific date and time when they're going to go on sale. So it gave people a target, if you like, to be lining up outside the store. This time out, Apple haven't actually specified a date. So I think these are just going to come into store at the end of the week, or late this week, they're saying, and customers will just come in and ask for them and buy them as they go. So interesting way they're doing that. The iPad Air 2 is going to start at $619 for the 16 gig Wi-Fi model, all the way up to $1,019 for the Wi-Fi plus cellular 128 gig version. The iPad Mini 3 is going to start at $499 for the 16 gig Wi-Fi, all the way up to $899 for the 128 gig Wi-Fi plus cellular. If you want to see all those prices, I've listed them at Tech Guide. But the iPad Air 2, the iPad Mini 3 are the new iPads on the block and will go on sale at the end of this week. If you want to read about my full story and also see all of those prices, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenning.
Tech Guide,
keeping you updated and educated.
Okay, well, we're not done with the Apple announcements just yet. What they also announced, the company had, this was rumored as well, and I'm really thankful that this rumor was true. They also announced a new 27-inch iMac with Retina display. Now, the size of that screen with the Retina display resolution means that the screen is actually a 5K display. Not a 4K display, a 5K display. It's got 14.7 million pixels on that razor sharp screen. So the resolution is actually 5120 by 2880. Now, the previous 27-inch iMac, which I'm actually looking at right now, that's my computer in my studio here. The new iMac has actually four times the resolution of this model that I've got right now. Talk about being obsolete. Well, the 27-inch iMac with Retina 5K display has seven times more pixels, so seven times the resolution of a full HD television. That's hard to believe, isn't it? But it's also 67% more pixels than a 4K display. So we've seen 4K TVs, 4K monitors, also known as Ultra HD. This new Retina display iMac is the highest resolution computer monitor display on the market. So a lot of people are saying that the popularity of 4K displays is growing. And they're not cheap either. They're around the $3,500 mark. Now, Apple's pricing for the Retina display 27-inch iMac, it starts at $2,999, which when you think about what you're getting and comparing it to the monitors on the market, that's actually reasonable, because not only are you getting the 5K display, not 4K, 5K display, it's also a computer. A lot of people forget that. But with the monitors you pay $3,000 for, it's just a monitor. with the new iMac with 5K Retina, not only is it a 5K, has it got a 5K display, it's a computer as well. So that's pretty good, I think, for professional users like the graphic designers, photographers, videographers, those sorts of people, those professionals are going to really be drawn to this device. It comes standard with 8 gig of RAM, which can be configured up to 32 gig of RAM, and you can also increase the hard drive from a terabyte to 3 terabytes. So really is a computer to look out for. It's going on sale. It's already on sale. It was actually went on sale the day it was announced last week. But what's running on the iMac, and this is an update for all Mac users, is the new Yosemite upgrade. The computer, the operating system, is now available. It was available the day of the event for free. So if you're using a Mac, an iMac, a MacBook, this is the latest operating system. And as I said, a free download, several new features, and we're talking on the, obviously a brand new look and feel, so totally new design, different typography, gives it more of a feel of the phone. So it does have similar characteristics to iOS 8 in that regard. And there are also enhancements to the browser, to the mail, which I've written about on Tech Guide. I've even listed the top 5 features of Yosemite. But the other interesting feature is one called Continuity. And this is the ability to connect your phone to your Mac like never before. Now, you can do a few things with this new feature. One of them is called handoff. Now, you may be, say, typing a message, an email on your Mac, and then you suddenly have to go run for the bus or get out of the house, you got to drive, or whatever you need to do. The beautiful feature of continuity, the handoff in particular, is that you can actually pick up where you left off on your other device. So if you started an email on your computer, you can actually finish it on your iPad or on your iPhone or iPod Touch, whatever you happen to have, and you'll find that there will be an open email on that other device. So it just works. The other thing you can do on the new on a Yosemite powered iMac with a iOS 8 iPhone is use your Mac as a speakerphone. So if you receive a call on your Mac, you can actually answer it on, if you receive a call on your iPhone, you can answer it on your Mac. So it'll come up, the call will come up on your screen. You can accept it, decline it, or when you do accept it, you can just use your iMac's microphone and speakers, and you can actually hear the call like it's a speakerphone, which is very handy. Same thing applies for text messages, SMSs, other thing you can do too. Say you're on your MacBook, you can automatically use your iPhone as a hotspot. It'll come up in the drop-down list of Wi-Fi networks. You don't even have to take it out of your bag. It'll automatically do it from the Mac. There's also a new iCloud Drive, which is kind of like Apple's version of Dropbox, which has also been there, and several other features, including they've also got an iCloud photo library too, so you can replicate your photo library, as you could do with your iTunes library, up in the cloud as well. Now, moving on to iOS 8, and they did announce there's going to be an iOS 8.1 version launched today. Now, if you're hearing this on Tuesday, today is the day you can download it. What's going to come with that update are several enhancements, and also obviously taken from some feedback from customers. One of the new features, or one of the returning features, I should say, is the camera roll. So what a lot of people found when they updated to iOS 8 was that the camera roll in their photos wasn't there anymore. And there were a lot of panicked users thinking they'd lost all their photos. But no, the photos were still there in your collections and in the years and other various albums, but all it had was recently added. So a lot of people were panicking, thinking, "Whoa, all my photos are gone." That's not the case, but 8.1 is going to restore the camera roll back into your iPhone and iPad as well. It also 8.1 will also give you access to that iCloud photo library that I mentioned, as well as several other enhancements too. I think Apple Pay is going to be one of those enhancements as well. It'll mainly be of use in the US to start with. Maybe as Aussies can get their hands on it online to make some payments, but it'll kick off in the US first of all. You want to read more about those announcements, you know where to go, techguide.com.au. Now, it wasn't just Apple hogging all the headlines last week. Android, or Google, I should say, were making a fair bit of noise themselves. Actually, on the day of the announcement, Apple's announcements last week, Google unveiled their very latest Android 5.0 operating system called Lollipop. Now, why is it called Lollipop? I've had some people ask me, where do they get these names from? Well, they do. Their names tend to reflect some kind of sweet, some sort of dessert. And you'll notice through all the names that we've gone through, we've had gingerbread, honeycomb, we've had Kit Kat, we've had all these other names, and they're actually following the letters of the alphabet, if you notice that. So we've gone from K, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, Jelly Bean, K was Kit Kat, L is Lollipop. Here we are. So a lot of people may not have known that. Little tidbit of information, a little bit of trivia there for you. So the next one, L, M. So think of it, M might be Mars Bar, the next one. Who knows what that's going to be. But Android 5.0 Lollipop is what we've got now, and the Nexus 6 smartphone and the Nexus 9 tablet, these are Google's own devices, are going to be the first to run these new operating systems, as is traditional. Google always do that. They obviously have their own devices running these new operating systems first, and then it will roll down to all the other third-party manufacturers who are creating Android devices. Now, Lollipop has got several new features. We're going to run through them quickly right now. The first is a new design called Material Design. So the user interface is a bit more responsive to natural touch. So it's like touching a real objects on the screen. So realistic light and shadows, new colors, new fonts, edge-to-edge imagery. UI has sort of a user interface to have a smoother, flatter appearance, very much like iOS 7 and 8 introduced on the Apple side. There will also be enhancements to notifications, so you can actually control your notifications even better. So you can choose who you want to receive new messages from and how you want to receive your other updates. So rather than receiving blanket notifications, you can pick and choose the ones you want to receive, which is pretty good news. Also, messages can be viewed and answered from the lock screen. You can also share devices. This is interesting. Now, say, for example, I've turned up somewhere, I've forgotten my phone, but I need to access my contacts or my messages. What I could do is actually ask to use someone's other Android Lollipop device, log them out of it, and then log myself into it, and that will then give me access to all of my messages, photos, all of my material. So even though you're using someone else's device, you could log in on your own account on someone else's device. So that's pretty smart little development right there. On the security side, this is an area I think that Android really needs to pay some attention. That has been enhanced too with a new coding language to offer greater protection. So from things like malware and other vulnerabilities. Now, the smartphone is the new frontier, let's just say, for hackers, and we are sharing a lot of personal information. We're storing a lot of sensitive information, financial information, on our devices, so we really need to be vigilant. There is also easier ways to access your quick settings, so easier to toggle your Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and things like that on and off. Performance-wise, it's had a bit of a boost. Obviously, the very latest device is going to have the fastest processors, but it has come up with a way to make multitasking faster and easier, and apps opening up to and running up to four times faster. On the battery side, this will be welcome news. Now comes with a Lollipop has a battery saver feature. So you can actually add about 90 minutes to half an hour to your battery. But the other cool thing is that Lollipop will allow you to give you estimates on how long it'll take to fully charge your device. So say you've plugged in your device at home and you need to go out in an hour and a half. It'll tell you how long you need to keep your device connected before it's fully charged. Similarly, it tells you how much usage time you've got on your device. Say you're out, you know you're going to need to go out somewhere for a couple of hours. You can look down at your screen and say, okay, I've got 3 hours battery, I should be okay. So that sort of allows you to assess your battery performance and what you need to do with it in case you need to charge it before you head out. So cool new features there. So the new devices, the Nexus 6 is the new smartphone with a 6-inch screen, quad HD, 6-inch quad HD screen, 13-megapixel camera, dual front-facing speakers. And that's going to be actually manufactured by Motorola, which Google used to own. Motorola was then bought by Lenovo. And so you expect to see some Lenovo-powered handsets or Motorola-powered handsets from Lenovo early next year, I'd estimate. The Nexus 9 is the tablet, 8.9-inch screen, 64-bit, 2.3 gigahertz processor, really thin design. That's actually manufactured by HTC. So Google right up front with a brand new operating system and two new devices. You want to read that in full and see the pictures of these devices, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. And they've just released the Netgear Nighthawk X6. That's the tri-band router. In fact, it's the world's first tri-band router, and it's only from Netgear. This device will be compatible with all your latest smartphones, like the iPhone 6, the iPad Air 2, which all now support 802.11ac. But just think for a moment, how many devices are in your home? Is it 5? 10, 20. These wireless devices, if they're not performing as fast as they should, whether they're streaming or gaming or updating, it could be that your wireless traffic is congested and fighting each other for network bandwidth. The latest router for Netgear eliminates that problem no matter how many people and devices are using your network. The Nighthawk X6 is here, and it's incredible. The X6 delivers a massive combined wireless speed of up to 3.2 gigabits per second. There's never been Wi-Fi like it. Even if everyone and everything in your home is streaming, gaming, working, playing, socializing, and updating all at the same time, the X6 won't miss a beat. So if you're looking for the ultimate in speed, range, and advanced features for your home network, upgrade to the Nighthawk X6 and get ready for the extreme. Check out the Netgear Nighthawk at netgear.com.au/Nighthawk X6.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennick. Tech Guide.
All right, we're going to kick off our reviews with some earphones from Jabra. These are the Jabra Sport Pulse wireless earphones. Now, these are earphones with a difference. Not only do they provide audio, and they're wireless, they're actually quite stylish, they're very secure, fit securely in your ears, but they also can read your heart rate. Now, before this, if you wanted to read your heart rate on the go, you had to wear one of those uncomfortable bands around your chest and have that information sent either to a watch or to a separate app. So it was quite a process. You had to have different devices, different apps running, and now with one product, Jabra has achieved this, where it can not only supply your music in decent quality, very high quality actually, but also read your heart rate. Now, how does it do it? Well, with these with the earpieces, the left earpiece does have an ear heart rate monitor. So what it does, it actually can measure the blood flow in your ear, to which equates to your pulse. In the other ear is the little nodule, so that's your micro USB charging slot. But of course, there are silicon tips that fit in your ear and little silicon anchors as well. So it does, when it does fit in your ear, it fits in nice and securely. So even when you're running, whatever type of exercise you're doing, they're not going to come out unless you pull them out, which is really good news, especially for runners and other people who love to take these to the gym. And it, as I said, it takes your heart rate at the same time. Now, there's a companion app that comes along with the Jabra Sport Plus wireless earphones. It's called the Sport Life app. So what you need to do, download that, and once the device is linked to your smartphone. Now, here's where we had a problem. To link the device to your smartphone uses Bluetooth. Now, you've got to remember, though, and this wasn't explained very well in the instructions. There was a little printed piece of paper that came with my review unit that said you need to actually pair the device twice. Once for the audio and the other time for the heart rate monitor. So when you go to your smartphone and you'll see two listings of Jabra Sport Pulse in your Bluetooth list, you need to pair both of those into your Bluetooth menu so that you can access not only the audio but also get the heart rate sent through to your device as well. Now, that app is actually quite handy because not only does it take your heart rate, it also offers different forms of activity. So you can select whether you're running, cycling, walking, hiking, all these sorts of things. You can even choose what sort of workout you want to do, whether you just want to be tracked, whether you want to do some zone training, so you want to achieve a certain heart rate, whether you want to do it's a target training, a certain distance or time. And at the same time, it's tracking your heart rate. So say, for example, you're doing the zone training where you ask to achieve a certain either an intense level or you maybe want a fat-burning level of heart rate, then the Jabra will actually tell you how you're going. So not only can you see it on the app, but when you're running and training, you're not looking at your phone all the time. It tells you in your ears whether you're in the zone. It tells you whether you need to speed up or tells you whether you need to slow down. So that's a really handy. It's like having a personal trainer in your ear. So the Jabra Sport Pulse, for anyone who's interested in maintaining a fitness level or, you know, getting into shape, staying in shape, then they're worth a look. On the audio side, of course, the music is quite impressive, actually. The audio quality, above average, great mid and high levels, decent bass, nothing earth-shattering, but good enough to power your workout. Battery life's also pretty cool, 5 hours of playback. We found, too, even when you leave the device, the headphones, for a few days, even a week, that it retains the charge. So when you come back to it, if you have half the charge left, it's still there, which I think is good news. So rather than having to be caught out just before a run with no battery, the Sport Pulse can hold onto that charge. The Jabra Sport Pulse wireless earphones, priced at $249. And if you want to read my entire review, you can do that at techguide.com.au. All right, next up, Linksys have just released an 8-port gigabit Ethernet switch. Now, I hear people saying, what the hell is that? Well, this is a device that lets you expand your wired connections in your home. Now, how many devices? We were talking about Netgear's Nighthawk X6 with the wireless connections. Well, this allows you to expand your wired connections. So you've got your router, which only has a few ports on the back. This expands the number of ports of your router. So if you want to physically connect a cable, say for your gaming console, your Blu-ray player, your smart TV, your other devices that you want to connect to the internet with a cable, then the Linksys is the device for you. It's got 8 ports, gigabit speeds, Ethernet connections, 8 of them on the back. One of them needs to go back to the router. The other 7 are for the devices you want to add to your network. Now, this isn't just a switch that just plug in and does nothing. On board is a QoS, which is quality of service. So what it can do, it's actually got the power to prioritize the traffic on your network. So if you're streaming audio or video, the Linksys will know what ports they're on, and it'll give those priority so that it has better network speed. Another feature, it's called auto sensing ports, kind of like a traffic cop for the device to maximize your data flow. So when a Kinect device is turned off or not in use, then the Linksys SE4008, that's the model number, places the port into a power saving mode, so using less power. Set up, plug and play, straight into the PowerPoint, straight into the modem, no software to download or install, you're off to the races. If you've got a Linksys router already, the wireless AC dual band wireless router that we've spoken about on the program, it does follow it's almost identical in design. But if you are using that router, this switch, the gigabit Ethernet switch, the 8-port switch, can actually sit below it. So you can stack the router on top of the Ethernet switch. So if you're in the Linksys family, you can easily, so without having to take up any more footprint or any more desktop space, you can add the Ethernet switch to your solution as well. The 8-port gigabit Ethernet switch from Linksys, the model number is SE4008, priced at $99.95. It's available at the end of October from JB Wi-Fi, and there's pictures and my full review at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide, keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Our last review for the show is the Asus MemoPad 7. Now, this is a handy little Android tablet. It's quite colourful too, available in five different colours. Got a nice 7-inch screen. Quite affordable, $229. This weighs only 295 grams and is just 9.6 millimetres thick. So this is the sort of screen size that's easy to grip in one hand. So it's ideal if you want to use it for browsing, emails, e-books. Very handy to carry around. Pretty small, great for watching movies, big enough screen to watch movies, yet small enough to fit in a bag. Even the large jacket pocket may even fit one of these inside. Under the hood, Intel Atom quad-core 1.8 gigahertz processor, a gig of RAM. So performance is okay, it's impressive, but this is the sort of tablet that can be used for, you know, part-time, part-work, part-enjoyment. This isn't a workhorse. If you're after something with a bit more power, if you really want to use this as a laptop replacement or something that helps you do your job on the go, maybe this might not be the product for you. Might not have the power or the screen size or the capacity to really do the trick. But for casual use, this is you can still do multitasking. It's not a workhorse, but it's an enjoyable tablet where you can enjoy content, create a bit of content if you have to, documents and things like that. But also comes with not only Android 4.4.2 KitKat operating system, not quite Lollipop stage yet, but KitKat's pretty handy. But it's also got its own Zen user interface, which I quite like. It does aggregate a few things, say, from your calendar, and there's a couple of productivity features I like called What's Next, so it reminds you what's on your to-do list. There's another one called Do It Later, so it helps you prioritize your task and reminds you to return missed calls, reply to emails and messages, things like that. It's quite useful. Also, gives you access to the open cloud, so you can access stuff from the cloud. You can also share content quite easily with little step-by-step process using a feature called Share Link. So you choose your content, choose where you want to share it, and hit share. It's quite simple. The Asus MemoPad 7, affordable little Android tablet. My full review, techguide.com.au, priced at $229.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Our Tech Guide Help Desk for this week is quite an important one. Now, there's often times when things don't work out quite right for your product. You've gone and bought something, a device, a smartphone, a tablet, whatever, a TV, whatever it happens to be, and sometimes things go wrong. It doesn't work the way it's supposed to. There might be some kind of fault, something happening, you're not happy with it. You need to know your rights. Well, there's a lot of people who may be surprised to know that there were some pretty big changes to the Australian consumer law back in January 2011. Now, these created pretty sweeping changes to how consumers can stand up for their rights. Now, there's a few things. I've written this full story on Tech Guide, but I'm going to take you through a few of them right now. One of them is a lot of people aren't aware that if something's wrong with your product, you can demand one of three things, either a repair, a replacement, or a refund. Depending on the fault, if it's minor, they may offer a repair within a certain amount of time. If it's going to take too long, you can demand for a replacement or a refund. So don't let the store, though, tell you that you need to take it up with the manufacturer. That's wrong. It's against the law. You are the store's customer, not the manufacturer's customer. So stand up for your rights there. Replacements and refunds, if it's a major fault, then you can ask for a replacement or a refund. And you don't even have to have the original packaging. Stores, they may say, well, look, you don't have the packaging, we might not be able to accept it. That's wrong. That you don't have to have the packaging. In fact, if it's going to cost you money to return the product, say, for example, a television, if you need to organize a courier to take it back to the store, that is at the store's expense. So they have to pay for that as well. A lot of people didn't know that. But you got to remember, this only applies. These laws and rights only apply if the product is not working properly, not doing it what it was described to do. You can't take it back if you've just changed your mind, if you've found it cheaper somewhere else, or you've decided you've got no need for it. You bought a product that you don't need. That you cannot then ask for a replacement or refund or anything like that. So it's only if something's wrong with the product that you can do that. Well, that brings us to another really important point about the warranty. There are a lot of people under the impression that once your 12-month warranty is up, then you are at the mercy of the manufacturer if something happens to go wrong 12 months and one day after you bought the product. Well, that's not right at all. That's one of the biggest changes to the consumer law. It's called the consumer guarantee. And the consumer guarantee has no expiry date. Now, there is a reasonable expectation placed on products that will work for a certain amount of time. If you paid $5,000 for a television, there's a reasonable expectation that TV should work for 4 to 5 years. So you really need to question, do I need the extended warranty? There's a lot of companies, a lot of stores will try to sell you that extended warranty. It's free money, really, for them, because 9 times out of 10, nothing's going to go wrong. That's money in their pocket. And you thinking, well, it's peace of mind for me. Think twice whether you actually need it. Now, if your device, say it's a laptop or a phone, something goes wrong, say, 18 months after you've purchased it, don't panic if it's out of warranty, because that consumer guarantee and that reasonable expectation of performance should cover that device for more than the 12-month warranty. So don't be afraid to go in and challenge the store and tell them, if you bought a laptop 18 months ago and it's not working anymore, there's a reasonable expectation that that laptop should work for 2 to 3 years. So don't be afraid to go in there and exercise your rights. So, and also, be careful if you're being pressured into into buying an extended warranty. It's against the law for that store to put you under any undue pressure to sort of give you some use scare tactics to make you buy extended warranty, to sort of mislead you to think that you're unprotected if the warranty runs out. That's not the case. Keep your receipt, of course. That's your proof of purchase. To demand the repair, replacement, or refund, you do need that receipt or some other proof of purchase. A credit card statement will do, but it may not be enough if it's not clearly itemized. So if you've bought 5 products in a day and one of those products happens to be the TV that's not working or your tablets that's not working, they may not accept it because it's not itemized. You can challenge them. You can ask them to look at their records. Tell them that what you bought, if you know the exact date and even possibly the time you bought it, they may find it in their records as well. If you're not happy about it, you can still contact the Australian Consumer and Competitions and Consumer Watchdog. That's the ACCC, Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, the ACCC. Their number is 1-300-302-502. Or you can read my story at techguide.com.au for everything you need to know to protect yourself as a consumer. And that's our show for this week. Everything we've spoken about on the show can be read in full at techguide.com.au. And you can send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. info@techguide.com.au is the email address. A special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been great having you with us once again. We look forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.